Yes. All right.
So just picking up from where we left off last week, we're discussing the Bina, discussing the idea of understanding, discussing last week the idea of that Bina is the development of Torah, the Torah as is, the grows and develops and even is adapted according to how the Chachamim of the generation understand it, according to the framework that the Torah gave us. And we left off with the idea of Elu ve'Elu being that the MS can change according to how the Chachamim understand it. And so just discussing the story in the Gemara in Bava Metzia says that the Nechunya Chofer Shichin, Baba Kamla, thank you, that Nechunya Chofer Shichin, that he used to dig wells for the people who came up to Yerushalayim would have water to drink when they came up for the regel. And the Gemara says that his daughter fell into a well, and the people who saw that she was in the well, they came and they came running to Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, and they said, Rabbi, the daughter of Nechunya Chofer Shichin fell into a well, and he said, don't worry, she's going to get out. And they came back, you know, after an hour, and she was still stuck in the well. And they ran back and they said, Rebbe, she's still stuck in the well. And he said, don't worry, she's going to get out. They came back an hour later, same thing, don't worry, she's going to get out. They came back, then checked, after the third hour, they ran back to Rechanina Mendoza, and they had a masora that a person could not survive in a well like this for 3 hours. And they came back to Rechanina Mendoza, and they said, Rebbe, she's still in the well. And he said, don't worry, she already got out. And they came back, and they found her on the side of the well, and she said that an old shepherd had come along and had taken her out, and it's clear from the Gemara that the shepherd was really Avram Avinu. And they came back to Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, and they said, Rebbe, how did you know? And he said, Amarti, because I said that how could it be that this mitzvah, that this tzaddik was osekin, that this mitzvah, that this tzaddik was involved in, would have, that his own daughter would have, you know, suffered because of such a thing. And therefore, it couldn't be. The next line of the Gemara then says that a few years later, that Nechunya Chofer Shichin's son died by drowning. Right? And the Gemara moves on. Toso says, hold on a minute. Didn't we just say that the mitzvah that Oso Tzadik was involved in, that how could his son suffer? He was, you know, busy making sure everybody had to drink, and then his son should die from drowning. So Toso says that Oso Shah, that at the time when his son drowned, that Oso Tzadik was not alive anymore. That he wasn't alive anymore. Toso doesn't say who he is, because there's two he's in the Gemara. One of them is Nechunya Chofer Shichin, the tzaddik who was digging the pits, and one of them is Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. And the Shita Mekubetzes there speaks out, says that who do we mean? Says that Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, who said that it can't be that the tzaddik who was osek in this mitzvah, that his daughter should fall in and suffer because of that, he wasn't alive anymore. And because he wasn't alive anymore, the svara, the logic that he said, was no longer binding. While Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa was alive, and he was the Gadol Hador, and he said, there's a svara, that it can't be that this tzaddik who was involved in digging wells, that his own daughter should suffer through, you know, drowning in a well, as long as he was alive, that was reality. That's what the Chacham says. So that's the Metzias. That's the way it is. If he's no longer alive, so that's no longer, that doesn't have to be that way. That's the way that the MS changes according to the way that the Chacham understand it, and the reality is determined as the according to the way the Chacham understand it. We have a very stark occurrence of this idea. Also, the Gemara says, is a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that there's a halacha that a girl who is not a basula is not allowed to marry a Kohen Gadol. And the Gemara says that if a young girl was, lo aleinu, was abused before she was the age of three, that her basulim will actually regenerate later in life. If it happened before she was three, then she'll heal, and she could still marry a Kohen. So the Gemara says that if you would have a girl who was born in Nisan, and she's just turned, I'm sorry, she was born in Adar, and she's just turned 3, and now she was a victim. And then the Chachamim came along, and they were Ma'aber Shana. They created an Iber Yar, they made it a leap year, and added a month to the year. And now, according to the new calendar, she's another, 2 weeks till her birthday, till she turns 3. Now, says the Gemara, that she's going to heal, right? That's the halacha. The halacha is that she is still allowed to marry a Kohen Gadol because now she's not 3 yet. She's only 3 at the end of Adar Sheni, and now it's Adar Rishon. She's not 3 yet. That the reality is determined, and that the Gemara says that's the Ekra Lakel Alai Gomer, that the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave over the secrets of the Torah to the Chachamim, but that the Chachamim have the ability to this extent that's the nature of what Bina is. It's something which is according to as generation by generation that the Chachamim have the ability to determine what is MS. MS is something which is subject to the understanding of the Dar and of the Chachamim, and that's something which, that's part of the process of Bina, of something that can grow and develop. That's step one of what Bina is. And then you go a level, a deeper level of what Bina represents. The Tanya writes that Bina is the internalization of something, making it a part of you. When you take when you've taken a piece of information, or you've taken something that you know, that you understand, and you've really internalized it, and you've really made it you've really assimilated it into you and made it a part of you, that's the process of Bina. And just to appreciate this, the deeper level is always another layer of the basic understanding. When you have a one level of meaning and another level of meaning, they're not two separate unrelated ideas. One is always a step further of the other. So exactly what's the relationship between these two aspects of Bina? So Bina is Maven Davar Mitoch Davar. It's the process of extrapolating, taking something and developing it one step further, and it's the process of internalizing. And those two things go together. They're very close connected. By extrapolating, by taking something and making your own imprint on that knowledge, when you, so to speak, improve that knowledge, when you have taken it a step further and put your imprint on that knowledge, you are kone b'shvach hakli. You've acquired that knowledge by improving it, by taking that knowledge and putting your imprint on it. It becomes a part of you. You have personalized that information, and now you've put your imprint on it. You've made that something which is uniquely yours at this point. The word lehisbonin, which means to contemplate or to meditate, also comes from the word bina. You contemplate to internalize something. You meditate on something. You are trying to absorb it and make it a part of you. Lehisbonin grammatically means to cause oneself to bina, right? It means that you are bina-ing yourself. To internalize something means to put yourself through a process of bina. It's pretty far. We're coming up on Rosh Hashanah, so it's pretty far far out, a few months out now to talk about Hanukkah. But the Chashmonaim are called, we say it in Maoz Tzur, B'nei Bina, right? B'nei Bina, Yemei Shmona, Kavushiru, Ananim, that the heroes of Hanukkah are men of Bina, B'nei Bina. The war with Greece, with the nation of the Greeks, was a war against Chachmas Yavan, against the Chachma of Greece, which was, the Chachma of Greece was Greek wisdom. The Greek academy was the pursuit of Chachma that goes no further than that. Knowing is the end of the line. It's not meant to change me. The Greeks were the originators of the idea of art for art's sake. It doesn't go be it's the knowledge for the sake of the knowledge itself. The art for the sake, it doesn't go any further than that. It is what it is, and I just want to the academic under just knowledge and having just, you know, empirical awareness and amassing that kind of just what we call today the scientific method, which is just, you know, what can I prove? What can I know? What can I prove? That came from the Greeks. And that was the nature of Chachmas Yavan, of the wisdom of the Greeks. They said to the Jewish people, it says that they said to the Jewish people, Kisvu lachem al karen hashar, ein lachem chilek belukei Yisrael. They said that you should write for yourselves on the on a bull's horn that you have no chilek, you have no portion with the God of Israel. So exactly what to do with writing on a bull's horn, because they were trying to remind them of Chet Hegel. But that's a separate point. But what they said to them was that you have no chelek, you have no part, you have no connection with Hashem. They weren't saying, the Greeks never came along and said there is no Hashem. They said there's nothing, it has nothing to do with us. All of the things that the Greeks fought against and they attempted to prevent the Jews from, it says that they wanted to forbid Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh and Bris Milah. All of those things are mitzvos which represent a connection between the spiritual and the physical. That Shabbos is the day in which we're able to take all of the Sheish Yemei Breishis, all of the Yemei Chol, all everything that we've developed and worked on in the days of our activity in this world, to then turn and dedicate it towards the spiritual. That's why I think we mentioned before that the Gemara says that you have a neshama yisera on Shabbos. Rashi says that your neshama yisera enables you to eat more, because what Shabbos is the day in which, because you have more spirituality, therefore you have the capability, the capacity to direct more physicality to a spiritual purpose. That is the point of Shabbos, is directing physicality towards a spiritual purpose. Rosh Chodesh is the whole idea. I didn't want to go through a whole separate discussion about Rosh Chodesh, but Rosh Chodesh, the whole idea of the moon. The moon is a reflection of the light of the sun. It's having that relationship, being able to reflect the light of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the basic idea of Rosh Chodesh. There's more about Rosh Chodesh, but well, it's not a shiur on Rosh Chodesh tonight. And Bris Milah. Bris Milah is very obvious. Bris Milah, you have the 7 days of the natural cycle, and on the 8th day, so the day where you're moving beyond the spiritual, where we make a bris and we curb back the physical towards moving towards the spiritual, it's showing that there is that ability of the physical to move towards the spiritual. All of these things were things which wanted to show a connection between the physical world and the spiritual world, and the Greeks wanted to remove and ignore that connection. They preached a philosophy of what you see is what you get. And the Chachamim were B'nai Bina. They were champions of that, no, Chachma is something which is meant to be internalized, which is meant to be connected to, that I'm meant to be able to take that and make it a part of me. It's something that I make uniquely mine. That was the answer, that was the response to Chachmas Yavan, was the Bina of the Chachamim. Chanukah is the Yom Tov of Torah Shebaal Peh. Chanukah does not have a canonized text associated with it. There was no prophecy at the time of Chanukah. Chanukah is the first Yom Tov, which is purely Torah Shebaal Peh. It's so Torah Shebaal Peh that Chanukah is not even, the halachos of Chanukah don't even make it into the Mishnah. Chanukah is mentioned in the Mishnah once, in a Mishnah in Baba Kama, which talks about that if you're walking by and somebody has their Hanukkah candles out and it accidentally lights whatever your animal is carrying on fire and the fire spreads, who's responsible? Ner Hanukkah does not get very much mention in the Mishnah. It's really it's only in the Gemara where Hanukkah really is, the halachos of Hanukkah get, you know, 3 or 4 blot in Masechah Shabbos. But the nature of Torah Shebaal Peh is this same avodah, is this same area, is the extrapolation of the Torah, is using your own kohos and nefesh, your own capacity, your own strength, and taking the chachma of the Torah and building on it and creating new halachos out of the existing body of knowledge, the bina of the Torah. I don't want to go too far over time, but...
What's over time? There's no set time.
Bina is something that the different faculties, different midos, different kochos are associated with different parts of the body. And bina is associated with the lave. Bina is from the lave, lave maven. We discussed this in the introduction that we had to the bracha of gvuros, of gvura, the second bracha. We talked a lot about the relationship between the lave and bina. But, you know, the pasuk in Malachim says, v'nasata la'avdecha lave shomea, lishbot es amcha, lahavin bein tov l'ra. That you should give your servant a heart to be shomea, to hear, and to understand, lahavin bein tov l'ra. The Medrash Tanhuma, which says pretty explicitly that this that Torah Shebaal Peh is something which is on your heart. It says the Medrash says minayin at is Medrash Tanhuma in Parshas Noach, it's Parak Gimel of or Pesach Gimel of the Medrash says minayin ata lamed she'ein ahava zu ela lashon Talmud. Says where do I know that ahava is referring to the Talmud, Re'e Maksiv Acharav, because it says, V'hayu ha-devarim ha-eile asher anochi mitzavecha hayom al levavecha. Ve'eze, and what is something that I mitzava you which is on your heart? Ze Talmud, shehu al ha-lev. Havi omer, v'shinantam lovenecha, zu Talmud, shetzarech shinun. So it says the Medrash, that v'ahavta es Hashem lokecha, b'chol levavcha, right? So what this Ava is referring to the Talmud, because when it says Bechol Levavcha, what is the tzivoy that Hashem is giving, which is on our lave, which is on our heart? That's Talmud. Exactly. What is the relationship between the lave and Talmud and Torah Shebaal Peh? Is exactly this point that we're discussing, that this Midah of Bina, that Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah, comes through nevuah. A navi is called a chose, is called a seer or a roe, right? The word in Shmuel they refer to a navi as a chose and a roe. That a navi is someone who's seeing. It's the faculty of vision, and seeing vision is a faculty which requires no reconstruction. Everything is there in a time snapshot. Everything is there in one frame. A picture can capture all of the information. You take a picture, you don't need a video to get, you take a picture and show it to someone and they can see the whole picture and they can get, you don't need to see it in the context of other pictures to understand what it's a picture of. You can look at a picture and you get the information out of it. That's the nature of Torah Shebichsav. Torah Shebichsav is that attribute, that aspect of re'iyah, vision, that you can get what it is, it's there in a freeze frame. As opposed to Torah Shebaal Peh, is called a shmua. We say that the shmaitza, that the shmua, that something, it's something you hear. The hearing, by definition, requires reconstructing the information, putting it together for yourself. So if you have one sound, it means nothing. It's only when you take the sound. If I just say the first syllable of a word and stop there, it doesn't mean anything. It's meaningless without the rest of the word. And the word does not have the same meaning without the rest of the sentence. And the sentence does not have the same meaning without the rest of the paragraph. The whole nature of hearing is something which is taking sounds, and sounds are formed into syllables and those into words and into paragraphs or into tunes or whatever, into something that has a meaning. One note has no meaning. There's no beauty to a note. It's only when you have a series of notes put together into a melody that suddenly that's something beautiful. But it needs to be something which is stored. You hear it and you store it in your mind, and then once you've gotten it all, you put it together and you construct it in order to mean anything. Torah Shebichsav is there as it is. But Torah Shebaal Peh is the Torah which is developed in the person. The person has to take it and then put it together as it is. It's something which is an internal process. It's something that has to go on your side, on the receiving end. There has to be something that happens in order to understand something which is a shemua. And that's what Torah Shebaal Peh is. Torah Shebaal Peh is this midah of bina. It's done through your lave. It comes from the lave because it's the process of internalizing something, of constructing something, of building something. The Maharal says in Teferis Yisrael, in Perek Samaches, the Maharal says that Torah Shebaal Peh is Torah that's misachid with a person, that Torah that connects to a person, that's what the Torah Shebaal Peh is. And that's the nature of Bina. Bina is the nature of knowledge as it connects to a person, as it becomes a part of a person. That's the Midah of Bina. We'll talk about, next week we're going to have, actually, we're going to talk about Rosh Hashanah in Shemoneh Esrei. But the week after, we're going to talk about Haskel, about what the last step is. And then we're going to put it all together and what the progression is of Dea, Bina, and the Haskel, and exactly what the progression of those three ideas is to exactly what we're asking for in this bracha. And we'll pause here.
You probably mentioned this last week, or you may have mentioned it tonight.